Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. It's Friday night, the 13th. You know, when you say the 13th, people, it's kind of scary, but tonight, you know, I think Friday the 13th might actually bring me luck for once. I am so excited. I am past excited, like jumping on my bed excited, but if I jump on my bed, I probably kill myself, and that won't be good. But tonight, we are having two of the most daytime legends, number one, and number two, the daytime couple. You know, everyone thought Looking Low was like the biggest daytime couple ever to be. But no, people, there was Tony. You know, there was Tony and Bobby. You know, that was the daytime couple, you know, in our day. You know, I love them. I love their love story. And let me bring on Jackie first. And if I call Bobby during the interview, people just don't listen to me because I know all of Bobby. I mean, I know all of Bobby Spencer history, so don't kill me, people. Here is Jackie Zeman, and she's also on Misguided and The Bay. Don't forget to watch both of those. Hi.
Carly. Hi. Thank you for having me on your show.
Jackie, you know, you're like my favorite person, you know, that. I mean, come on. I know your history probably better than most people know, you know, your history. I really know your history better than you know your history, and I keep telling people that I do. So, you know, I think it's correct. And hold on, let me see if this is Brad.
Okay.
Brad, is this you? Okay. No, Brad's not here yet.
Well, we'll get him. He teaches, you know, so maybe his class was running over. He teaches, which
I just want to say, before Brad comes on, I have a little, because everyone knows how obsessed I am with you, and, you know, I play Bobby scenes over and over and over and over, and I probably can say a couple lines, but I saw the diabetes storyline that you just had was really wonderful and really informative, and you knocked it out of the park. You totally knocked it out of the park. I mean, you were amazing, and if they don't give you a daytime Emmy for this storyline, I might be going to California and doing something about it. So, yeah, you were, you know, you were terrific in it, and I saw you and Sonia Eddy together. Epiphany was just the talk that you guys had was amazing.
Thank you so much. And for me, I'm from Sonia. And thank you for your, you know, your kind, very positive thoughts about this story. And I'm really happy to have been a part of that story. I've gotten such positive, wonderful feedback from our, you know, from our friends and family and all the people who watch the show, because surprisingly to me, diabetes affects so many people in this country. I mean, I didn't realize that practically everyone has someone in their family or is close to someone who's been affected by this. So so many people have come to me and said, oh my goodness, I'm glad, you know, the show is giving this kind of thing the attention that it needs, because a lot of people aren't even aware when they first, before they get diagnosed, that they have it. They don't know what the symptoms are. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what's wrong with them. And I think anytime we have an opportunity to bring that to people's attention and to help someone out, you know, because daytime has always been, for me, so real. And I love the fact that we have the reality storylines and we have that really close, intimate connection with our audience. And I love the fact that our, you know, viewers, all of our friends and family just turn on our show or record our show every day. They don't, like, look at the guide and say, oh, what will I watch? They know our show is on and they watch our show. And that's been going on now for many, many decades, at least the four-plus decades that I've been on. And that makes me feel very happy, and I'm very grateful for it.
I mean, I just have one little bone to pick with you, because I love you, but when you called Zach your favorite son-in-law, I kind of wanted to, like, you know, have a very nice private discussion with you, because I'm like, no, wait a moment, no, wait a moment, no, that's not the line to give up. The line is Sonny is your favorite son-in-law. Okay, Sonny may not be perfect. Sonny may not be perfect all the time. He loves your daughter. They are having a baby, number two, one and two. And, you know, he was Luke's best friend. So, you know, I think that's what outweighed Dax by like 1,000%. And yes, I am a Carlson fan. I'm a diehard Carlson fan. And I just wanted to say, I love that you got to be at the wedding. And I love how you were saying to Max Gill, Mike, that you guys were singing and dancing in the car. And I just thought that was so cute. And this, when you caught the bouquet, I'm like, oh no, she cannot catch the bouquet. She cannot catch the bouquet, because she catches the bouquet, Scotty Baldwin is going to just take that as a sign that they should be married. And this marriage might not be good for Bobby. And so, yeah, I just wanted to say that, you know, you and your dress, I fell in love with your dress from the wedding. I thought it was really good and pretty on you. And, you know, I just thought the whole wedding in itself was, you know, really beautiful. And I thought you did a great job that day with everyone. I thought everyone did a great job with the wedding and the vow renewal, and, you know, you have the Avery saying, who are those people? When they were talking about Sonny and Carly, but it was Michael and Caroline. I thought that was one of the sweetest lines. So I thought, you know, you did a great job, and I'm hoping that we see Bobby more on the screen, because I feel like Bobby really hasn't been on the screen that much, you know, as of late. I mean, we saw her at the wedding. You know, we saw her talking down Scott from being crazy. I just love it when you get to be on for more than one or two days.
Well, thank you. I like it too. And it was fun shooting that particular show. That was actually one of the first days that Laura Wright came in and had her, you know, her accident where she fell down the stairs and hurt her leg. So that when she was, you know, they shot the walking down the aisle, she couldn't actually walk down the aisle. So those, you know, if you were watching, anybody who was watching saw that. We saw a close-up on Laura. She was standing, but she had been she was in a wheelchair actually, and stood up so they could shoot her standing there on the white carpet to walk down, you know, to walk down, and then they shot everybody else, and then they brought her up to the end. You never actually saw her walk down the aisle, and that's exactly why. So I worked with Laura today. I was on set today shooting, and she's still got, you know, her cast on her leg, on her thing, and she's still, but now she's running around on a scooter, so she's doing the same thing that Ken Schreiner was doing, you know, about a month ago when they did those proposal scenes when he was on his scooter. So everybody, please send her good thoughts and wish her well. I know she's healing well, but she's a trooper. She shows up anyway. She does her job, and she's great.
Well, you know, you love life. Bobby loved life, which I'm very concerned about. you know, because you haven't had a really good love life lately. Part of me wants to say, go for Scotty again. Just go for it. Throw caution to the wind and just give him a chance. And then there's part of me saying, wait a moment, you can't. You can't. He has a grudge against the Corinthians. Well, not as of late, because he kind of asked Sonny for help with Franco. So, you know, that made him, you know, really nice. And I'm telling you, in about a month or two, I think, I know you can't say anything, just the soap feeling I'm getting, then you might have to really hurt Julian in a big, big way, because when a reveal is about to come out, I'm going to love your reaction. I am waiting to see Bobby Spencer be Bobby Spencer, and I am waiting for you to get full mama bear mode, because you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes. Well, I hope they write it. Fingers crossed. You never know.
Oh, well, yeah. And, you know, I really hope Carly's baby will be okay. I mean, but I think what you said on the 50th anniversary was, you know, miracles happen in this hospital every day. And so I think, you know, when you said that, it was almost like everything was going to be okay. So, I mean, I'm hoping, you know, because they deserve some happiness, and then you will be a grandma again. And, I mean, you know, when the reveal comes out, well, you will be a great grandma again. But, you know, I just think that, you know, Bobby should be front and center at all times. And if there's anything I can do to make that happen for you, I can. I totally.
Well,
it's all
sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I really want, you know, to have you, you know, on Mo, and a lot of people, you know, also want you on, and I can't wait for Brad to get on here, because, you know, there's some classic Tony and Bobby moments we need to talk about. You guys are the classic soap couple back in the day. I really think you guys kind of have Luke and Laura beat in a way, because I believe you guys went through the death. Well, number one, you went through a death of the sire together. Number one, oh, here's Brad. Okay, everyone, here's Brad Maul. You guys know him as ex Tony Jones that died very, very sadly in the hospital. When the hospital had that, you know, the making everyone die storyline, and you know him from Seventh Heaven. And so here's Brad. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Carly, how are you?
Good. Now I have my favorite couple from the 80s, 90s.
Hi, Jackie.
Live together on One Sober Side.
Hi,
Brad. Great. And you guys, Brad, we need to bring you back. There's a way to bring you back. I'm a good writer. I can make up something. Like Elena has had you captive this whole time and you never died in the hospital, you know, virus storyline. And you've been prisoner all this time. And then they can bring you back. And then there can be a Tony, Scotty, and Bobby little triangle.
Well, can you make it where I didn't age?
Okay. Jackie has not aged a bit. You have not aged a bit.
I know she hasn't aged.
No, you
She's
haven't aged
pretty
a bit.
And young.
On. You have not aged a bit. And my question is for both of you. When the breaking up of Tony and Bobby happened, and I'm not picking whose fault it is because I love both of you, so I'm not blaming either one of you. But when you have the Beasley storyline happening, and then, you know, Bobby accidentally slept with Damian Smith. See, I'm loving my Bobby to say she accidentally slept with him.
Wait, how do you accidentally sleep with somebody?
Yeah, I'd like to know that, too.
Okay, she was drugged.
I mean, it was
okay,
mistake.
People didn't know she was drugged. She didn't know what she was doing. And
okay.
Yeah, and she gave me to her, Tony, and I can be referee. But my thing was, when you guys knew you were breaking up, and when the scene came, when you guys found out BJ died, and then, well, Tony found out that you slept with Damian Smith, but it wasn't Bobby's fault. How was the scene for you guys to do that day, knowing how heavy the storyline, you know, was? I mean, you didn't know the impact it was going to be 30 years ago. 30 years ago, the American people, still see Tony with BJ's heart, you know, listening to it, you know, before they take her. So how was it for both of you? Let me start with Brad.
Well, it was really difficult, you know, even though we're actors, Jackie and I always were family kind of. We loved each other as best, you know. And so it was very difficult. And we loved, you know, our little BJ. I mean, she was like our – we'd known her since she was 6 weeks old. So.
Yeah.
Jackie, tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well – you know, her whole life, her Brighton's whole life was on the show. Like, I think we started with her when she was so young. So, yes, you know, people ask over the years, many people have asked, what is it like? Is how much crossover is there? And, yes, it's a heck of a lot. We were with her she drew the first pictures. I didn't have kids when I started working with her, and my first pictures that went up with the magnet on the refrigerator were given to me by her, you know.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, Brad's got, well, has two kids who are now young adults, grown up, but Lily and Hunter were my daughters, my real life daughters. Cassidy and Macy idolized his kids. I mean, Lily was just a few years older. So, you know, to Cassidy and Lacey, oh my goodness, the fact that Lily would hang out with them and do stuff, we'd go trick-or-treating together, and we'd always go up into, you know, Brad's neighborhood and go trick-or-treating every year. We'd have so much fun. And my girls, you know, to this day, we have incredible memories because it's like you said, Brad, it's truly family. Those kind of memories are irreplaceable. They stay in your heart and with your spirit forever.
Yeah, just like Brighton did with us, you know.
Yeah.
Like BJ.
That's so true. So true. So we were very lucky to have had that time together. I mean, my God, what would Brighton, you know, 30, I was thinking about it one day because it was like BJ's birthday would have been like, you know, a few weeks ago. And I'm trying to think, he'd be like 30 something now, right? 32, 3, 4, 5, somewhere like early middle 30s. I mean, wow, when you stop to think about it, wow.
Yeah.
Just so you know, you two, I skipped school for you guys for the BJ storyline, just for you guys, because back then BCRs wasn't really dependable for 8 hours, in my opinion. So I had to skip school for you guys because I thought it was going to be very heart-wrenching and if you missed it, you know, you couldn't go back and watch it. So I skipped, you know, okay, a week of school over the BJ storyline because it was really well done. And I thought the, you know, anger that both of you guys had at each other was dynamite. I thought, you know, this is probably what real life couples go through, and they are so angry with each other, and I wanted you guys' marriage to survive. I really did. I was voting for a miracle, but then, you know, Tony decided to go off the deep end and, you know, kind of went crazy for a while, but I just think you guys have this history in daytime of one of those top couples, and I don't think you two realize that. Even today, people want Bobby and Tony back together, even though, you know, Tony's unfortunately dead. But I'm trying to fix that wrong for you, Brad. and my question for Brad is, was it your decision to leave, or was it their decision? Because when we got to that storyline with the hospital virus, and you were taking care of the patients, you, Bobby and Tony, all of you guys were, and was it your decision? Because I did not see that one coming. Usually, I see something like that coming. I did not see that one coming. I did not see your death coming at all. It took me by complete surprise. I thought they were going to save you at the end, give you a miracle drug at the end, or do something. So what was it? Was it your decision, or can I blame the notebook?
I don't know. I really don't know. But it's all good. Everything in life, even on TV, has a purpose and it works out. And I love what has happened. I didn't love dying, but I love what's happened since then. And who knows what tomorrow brings.
Exactly. There's great wisdom in everything you've just said, Brad. So it's true. You never know. I mean, I was really sad when they killed the character off, because I had no clue that was going to happen. But that was when, you know, we had a producer come in that, you know, was making a lot of changes on the show. I don't think that was particularly related to what was best for the show, what was good on the story. I think those were other agendas involved in that decision. But when a person comes in as executive producer, they can, you know, do what they want to do, whether it be right or wrong, you know, whether the audience likes it or not. Sometimes things happen the way they happen, and you're very wise to have a positive attitude. Same thing for me. I was off for a long time. You know, you have to look and go, okay, what's meant to be will be. You know, life is what we resist persists, what we look at disappears. So when you relax into something, you decide, hey, that old saying, go with the flow, what's happening around
Yeah.
or something. But there's great truth to that, you know? You can't fight what's going on. Sometimes you just got to acceptance, and there's peace in acceptance, and there's joy, and there's happiness, and there's a future that's filled with good, happy feelings. So that's what
yeah.
I always say when something happens, you know.
And Jackie's always been very, you know, she's like very wise, like old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know,
she
like,
is.
She is like an old soul kind of person. And she's like, this will pass. You'll be fine. You know, and I think she tells herself that and all of us. And it's true. You know, it is
mm-hmm.
fine. And actually, you know, I it kind of was great for me to shake my life up and open it up, because you get in kind of a habit and a rut and things, and
mm-hmm.
You don't appreciate what you have maybe. So I don't look at it as anything but a blessing. And blessings are not always what you ask for or what you plan for.
Yeah, isn't that the truth, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's... And also,
well,
one other thing I was
yeah.
going to mention a while ago is that most people, after they lose a child, end up getting, or a large majority of people, end up getting a divorce after they lose a child because, you know, they just can't live with the grief together. So that's really, that was a hard thing to do. So they did it right, you know.
Yeah,
because one of the spouses
right
goes crazy
that.
And can't handle it.
And mm-hmm. one thing I want to come in both of you on, but it took Bobby a while more to get there than you did. Well, you were sort of, you know, almost out the door when Lucas told you he was gay. And Tony accepted it, you know, and was okay about it. And my beef with the writers will always be, Maggie and I talk about this all the time, that for Bobby not to, you know, not to accept it right away was poor writing on their part, I will always say, because as a nurse, as a mom, as everything Bobby Spencer is, that was a hard pill for the audience to swallow. It's like, wait a moment, she would never turn her back on her kids. And that, for the audience, there was no Twitter back then. I mean, if there was Twitter, you know, that would have been a very big Twitter day. But I just think you guys both handled it, you know, in a way it was written. But how do you feel about it, Brad? Because, I mean, you kind of found out about it, you know, kind of right before you were dying about Lucas. And then, you know, Zachy found out about it later and didn't know what to do with it. That's how I see it. So,
Say that again.
Lucas, when you found out Lucas was gay and Lucas came to you in the hospital, you told him, Lucas, you should not be here because
right.
people are really sick during the hospital. But I was seen, and he goes, but Dad, I have something I have to tell you. And
right.
the way you were so comforting, I know everyone's lying. Is this me? And you were so comforting.
Well, you know
about it.
It's how many years has it been? 15 or 16 years. It is still a very contemporary topic of acceptance of people being who they
mm-hmm.
are. And so the writers mm-hmm. were a little bit ahead of the curve on America when they wrote some of that stuff. Intolerant, maybe. And so I think it's wonderful that 15 years later, people are just now trying to be tolerant about things like that. I think any parent on a basic level wants their kids to be loved and accepted, and parents will accept anything, you know, even when their kids going through the worst time of their life or the, you know, one of those traumatic things, they still on a basic level say, look, I love you. I want the best for you. I don't think I was doing anything weird or different, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, for me, I had a hard time with it. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brad. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no, go on, Jackie. Go on.
Well, I just, at the time, I had a hard time playing the reaction that they wrote for Bobby. But here's the thing, Carly, when you said, when I told Jackie it was my favorite, you know, son-in-law, we don't write the script. Our job is the words and make the story work. You know, it's not up for discussion on whether we like our scenes or don't like our scenes or like where our character is going. That's not our job. Our job is learn your lines, show up. So, you know, did I personally not, you know, want Bobby to play the storyline in the non-acceptance? Absolutely. Because one, I feel as a mother, one would have known before he ever even sold that she would have had an inkling.
Yeah.
She's always been a very maternal, open, spiritual person with a great awareness, with total love, and her sexual background having been what it is, with all kinds of explorations and experience, I always saw her as a very open person sexually and a very open person when it comes to choices, lifestyle choices, sexual choices, love, intimacy, all of that. So when they decided to put that on the character, I personally had a hard time playing it as an actress because it wasn't my understanding of who I'd been playing all the years that I'd been on the show.
Yeah.
You know, that's our job. We have to come in and do what they write. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, yes. And for you, Brad, because I never had two people on the wheel. I had Zaki and Lynn on at the same time, which was fun. But as a couple, what was your favorite storyline to go through as a couple? Because you guys went through a range of stuff in you guys' love life and divorce. But what was your favorite storyline back then?
What was the famous storyline back then?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I don't hear that well, so sometimes I'm missing some of the questions here. Jackie, can you clarify this?
You wanted to know what was the favorite storyline or what was the most popular
favorite storyline when you guys were working together as a couple? What was your favorite storyline to do?
Okay.
Well, I remember getting on my knees and proposing to you as my best friend.
Yeah.
You know.
I love that.
That was a fun time.
I still remember that. And our wedding day, I loved our wedding day. I still have photographs of that, pictures, you know, which I hold out. You saw them probably. We did, Carly, like a few weeks ago and had GH Fan Club weekend. Brad and I had a breakfast with a lot of our friends and family and people that have been watching the show for years who came, and it was so wonderful. So some of the things that you're saying, bringing up on the phone were things that those people mentioned to us that day, reliving certain storylines and telling us how they feel. And it was so beautiful. And because of that, I had brought some pictures, you know, of when our wedding, when we got married, and the, you know, set pictures. And I think some of them were, I don't know, downstairs in the photo studio, or because some of them were posed. A couple of them were posed.
Right.
But I just remember that so – you were so handsome, too. Oh, my God. You know, I mean, you still are. But when I look at those pictures, I'm like, oh, my God, you know? That was us at a wonderful time in our lives personally, in our lives as professionally as actors, for the show, for its history, for what was going on with the show. Everything was on an upswing in those days. Everything was – you know, we had happy storylines and we had very sad storylines, but there was an energy to the show.
Yeah.
That you it was like a train, you know, or like a rocket ship taking off, and you could feel it. You'd come on the set during the day, and everybody that worked on the show at that time was really proud and had a lot of confidence, and I think also a lot of appreciation and gratitude for being there, because we felt that what we were doing was really special, and people were really enjoying it and loving the show. And how often do you
there were moments
actor,
when
right,
you
Brad?
Could feel you could feel the wave pick you up as a couple, or you know, like we that time, it just like a giant wave had picked us up, and we were just riding it during
That's
the BJ storyline and stuff.
Yeah, because people to this day, everybody mentions that storyline. I mean, people, you know, when they talk about, you know, that particular storyline was really heartfelt and really important to so many people, as it was to us. I mean, it doesn't, you know, that kind of thing. It stays in your heart. You know, as an actor, when you're asked to play something of that magnitude, that kind of emotional magnitude, it changes the chemicals in your body to where you it truly becomes real. You know, the subconscious doesn't differentiate between what's going on for real and what's going on when you're an actor. Your subconscious is all real. It's like when you have a dream at night. You know, sometimes you wake up in the morning and you can remember the dream and you're like, oh, my goodness. But that really happened in your mind and in your spirit and in your body. You know, even though it was just a dream, it's still real. So when you know, Brad and I, they putting us together. And weren't we, like, married for 9 years? Were we at 9 years? It was long, right? 9 years.
Yes.
So that's a long marriage. I mean, we stopped to think. We worked pretty much every day in those days, right? We were up every day on the show. You know,
other
20 pages, 30 pages, 35 pages. And in those days, Carly, our scenes, when you were on, you were in like 7 scenes a day. They called it like the teaser or the prologue, and then 6 acts. And you almost always had a scene in almost every act. And our scenes, now if you watch General Hospital, you'll see the scenes are much shorter. Most of the scenes on paper are 1 to 3 pages. In those days when Brad and I were on, our scenes were like 8, 9, 10, 12, sometimes 15 pages long, one scene.
Yeah, the death scene when I said goodbye was 10 pages long.
Yeah.
When the day everybody came into my room. Well, I didn't have that many lines, but I mean, it was you and Tony and all the stars coming in to say goodbye. And we did that in one take, you know?
What?
So, one take.
I'm pretty proud of it.
Yeah, well, as you should be. It was incredible, you know. I mean, I think everybody still remembers it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Most of our
I'm not
in those days.
Amazing.
You had to, right? We shot it and moving on. I mean, there's not a whole lot of time.
We didn't have, you know, you rehearse it, but they blocked it, and then they shot it sometimes. And that's just the way it was. We were that professional. We can do it, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's the wonderful thing about being, you know, in the part of the business that we're in. It's like, you got to step up and do it. That's what's so really exciting about being on a soap opera, you know, because it is like fly by the seat of your pants always. And it's just really, really fun. And it's really exciting. And there's an energy to it that, you know, it's unmatched. Anywhere else, at least for me, unmatched anywhere else.
Yeah, it's kind of like improv, really, or live theater, whatever. That's why you go to the theater so much. I think, Jackie, you love it so much.
Yeah.
Because I'm always seeing on Facebook where you're going to a different show almost twice a week
Twice a week. Yeah, you got it. You're right. I pretty much go to theater
I've been stalking you.
Well,
I know what's going on.
I know
when you go to lunch with your kids. I know all kinds of stuff.
I had lunch with Lacey today. I was shooting this morning, so I got up at 3:30 this morning to go shoot. But I had like a bunch of scenes just with Laura Wright, all in one set. So we shot them and I was done. Then I had lunch, you know, with my daughter Lacey, which was really, really fun. And then now we get to do this. And tonight, ironically, Michelle Valjean, who was one of the writers of OGH for a gazillion years, it's her all-girls annual birthday party tonight. I'm going to that after we're off the air. Yeah, so I'll tell her writing ambitions now. Another show.
Would you tell her hello for me?
I absolutely
will. She wrote.
She did. She's a brilliant writer. I will tell her.
Yeah.
You know, I love Bella, and I think I think the casting, and at that time, I don't think the affair you had with Carly was the right. I think it was Sarah Brown, right? Brad or Tamara?
Yes. The affair with
when
Carly?
When they had you, though.
It was Sarah Brown, Carly.
Okay.
Yeah.
See.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They have so many Carlys, you know. How was it for, because you just found your daughter, but you didn't know she was your daughter because Luke was kind of keeping you in the dark once again about something. And, Tony was sleeping with her. And when the realization came for that and you guys, you know, that really split you up. You guys' marriage was already in trouble, so I don't blame Carly for slowly on your marriage breaking up. But how was that for you guys to film that? Because, you know, in a way, it's kind of laughable, you know, sleeping with your mother's daughter. But it was heartbreaking for Bobby to find, oh, not only do I have a long-lost daughter, but my long-lost daughter is now sleeping with my husband.
That was just wrong. It was creepy and wrong. It shouldn't have ever happened.
But it was good soup story. I mean, come on.
Yeah, yeah. And Sarah was a terrific actor, you know. She's wonderful.
And you were too in those scenes. Oh, my God, Brad. You made them work.
Yeah, but.
You know, you made those scenes work.
You know, you talk about saying lines that you didn't want to say. When I was crazy and all that stuff and shaved my head,
For some reason, Brad, I thought when Crazy Tony kind of went off the bin for a moment and you came out Michael and you did all your crazy stuff, it brought a new layer to you. You wasn't the doctor. You wasn't the husband anymore. It was, you know, you were grieving over a lot of things. And to me, I thought it was a good thing to kind of make Tony go off the, you know, edge a little. And, okay, a lot. But I just thought you played it so well. And the fact that Academy of Daytime Emmy did not give you a award for that was wrong on every level. There's so many storylines that you two played with the Beasley storyline, you guys breaking up with everything, and you guys never got a nod for that was wrong. I'm sorry. You guys deserved it.
As an actor, it's delicious, you know. It's like, yay. Even though you may be morally opposed to it or something like that. But
exactly.
It was, you know, it's wonderful. You get to show your range or lack of or whatever. So.
Yeah,
those
you're right
good
about
times.
That. Totally good times. Really exciting.
It's funny how much the audience kind of, like, people didn't like me during that period. And I was like, hey, it's me.
I thought you just needed a time to go crazy. And, you know, even though I thought, okay, maybe they are going a little overboard on making Tony a little crazy. But I thought at the end of the day, you know, this is a guy that lost a lot. So he kind of deserves to kind of go crazy a little. And, you know, I just thought that, you know, with you know, Tony fired her that we really didn't know that was about. You know, I thought that played a role in that. I mean, after all, Frisco, you know, is your brother, and he took off 35 times. So I thought it was a little of why you did what you did. I understood why you did what you did. I fully understood you. I never got mad at you. Maybe the audience did, but I think the audience was too harsh on you. And before
yeah, but they were just, they were mad
college,
at Brad in the grocery store. And I was like, oh.
Exactly.
You did a great job, but Zachy, I got to say to you, because, you know, you're one of my favorites, but you had me cracking up last year. Was it last year or the year before when Michael and Neil was getting married and you wore that dress and you were so opposed to it and you knew what a little, that little bitch, okay, you said it first, dummy. And how she was gaslighting your doll and you knew it and the baby shower. And I loved how you just laid into her. And then you looked at Sunny and Jason and said, are you guys going to do something? And they are like, no, congratulations, Michael. And I'm like, okay, that didn't go very well for Bobby. But I just love how Bobby has a sense of style. But I just love it when you go after someone. And when you go after someone, it's dynamite to us. I wanted you to go after me. I was so bad. I wanted you to actually beat her up. They never said you beating her up, but I was, you know, waiting for that. And, you know, I'm waiting for the other thing to come out, like, really bad, because I want you to beat people up. Because I think women should be able to beat up men if they do something really wrong. And before I take calls, do you two know back then when you guys adopted Lucas, did you guys know that Julian Jerome was his father back then? Or was it something, maybe Zachy can answer this before Brad, I'm not sure. Was it something they just put in the storyline a couple of years ago? Or did they know all the time that Julian Jerome was his biological father?
Yeah, I think they changed. I think that that evolved as time went on. That's what I think.
Well, you know, whenever you and William are working together, I'm always on your side, and I'm like, go for it, tear them off. And I.
Well, didn't Bobby
Brad,
have a
I
fight in an elevator one time or something?
Yeah,
I know.
Say that
I
again, Brad.
I'm still on today, Brad, because you.
No,
oh, my God, I would love to see Tony go up against Julian Jerome. I would pay money to see it because I would love to see your reaction. And after all, Jerome has not been nice to people. And so I just think that if there was a way to bring Tony back, I would do it for you because I think there's some unfinished business. And I think America needs to see a triangle between Bobby, Scotty, and Tony just for the heck of it because I think it would be a really good triangle. And, you know, I would love to see you and Ken really go at it, Brad. I think that would be hilarious for you guys to set, you know, fight over Bobby. I think that would be hilarious. And just remember, people, Brad and Zachy both have amazing voices, and I don't think people are aware how great you guys both can sing, especially Zachy on the Nurses Ball. You are amazing. They should give you a whole song by yourself to sing. I think you're ready for it. Will you do it? If I ask you?
Would you sing a song, Jackie?
To do the whole song and dance by yourself when you do it?
You want to hear me sing. I'm a terrible singer. But I'll dance. I'll do other stuff. But I'm not.
I think you have a wonderful voice.
Brad can sing.
A lot of people love your voice, by the way. Okay, I'm going to bring on callers or I'm going to be dead. I'm really going to be dead. Let's see. 804, you're on the line? 804, you're on the line. Okay. 804 doesn't want to talk. Okay. Nine, ten, you're on the air.
Hey, Carly. Hey, Tony. Hey, Jackie.
This is Bobby.
This is Bobby in North Carolina. B-O-B-B-Y. Not B-O-B.
Hi, Bobby.
Yeah, it seems funny. I'm talking to you, Bobby Spencer, B-O-B-B-I-E, and I'm Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y.
Okay. Hi, Bobby.
Hey. How are you doing tonight, Tony?
Good.
Oh, I'm doing great.
Great. Now, I want to just go back when Rick Springfield was on the show about, I think for a while there was like a Bobby Nora pairing for a while. What was it like working with him? And when he had his Jessie girl, how did you and Jeannie and Tony and the rest of the co-stars on the show at the time react to Rick being the big star when it went to number one?
Oh, so happy for him. Are you kidding? It was fun.
Yeah.
Rick, first of all, is a really, really great person. Like, I love that guy. He's great. He's real special, very professional, always came in every day, you know, and he was doing his music. And even today, he's always on tour. You know, he's always writing. He's written books. He's written songs. He's on tour. Always comes in the most professional, always knew his lines, didn't even need to look at his script as he would come in the morning, knew his lines, never went up on his lines. Totally professional, and I just, you know, and is a really nice person, and his wife too, Barbara.
Yeah,
she's awesome. They live in Malibu in my neighborhood, so I know him and her for many years, pretty well, and I just adore them both.
Right, I know that when Rick became popular with Jessie Girl, he did more promotional tours with American Bandstand and all the other dance and music shows, and around the early days of MTV to promote his album and Jessie Girl at the same time. But so I know that he has less and less airtime on GH before coming back in 2005 briefly and then leaving the show to focus mainly on more music and acting that he's still doing today. So it's just kind of amazing. But how's your daughter doing, by the way?
How is what?
Your daughters.
Oh, you mean Cassidy and Lacey? My real life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for asking. They're wonderful. Cassidy, my firstborn, oldest daughter, is pregnant now with a real life girl that's due to be born on December 30th. So we're all, you know, really excited. I've been a grandma on TV now for 25 years, but this is my first real life human baby.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Yeah.
And Lacey's great. Lacey's 26 years old now and lives in Brentwood, California and is senior brand manager for Live Nation. So she's running all over she has heavy travel on her job and I'm really proud of her. She's doing fabulous. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. I wanted to say thank you very much for putting those SoapNet PSAs out because it really meant a lot, especially with what was going on at the time, whether it been with the mob violence on GH or with the serial killing plots that were going on at the time on One Life to Live or Days of Our Lives at the time. And this was pretty much a good lesson, especially for youngsters that was watching the show at the time, that maybe was watching it just for the kids because it couldn't – because of what was going on at the time. So that was a good lesson. Even the HIV stories, and the teen sex story that Dylan and Georgie had was also a good lesson to learn. So this was a great PSA idea that you did with SoapNet back then.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And I
agree with you. I think the PSAs are good. I think it's good that they have them on.
Yeah, it would be great if ABC Daytime, as far as Michael Strahan and Sarah, does their own PSA during the daytime, and the View girls do their own PSA during the daytime, and the GH stars do their own thing, and they're on ABC Daytime or on the website. Because it would be great to just have something to do, because I know NBC does that all the time, but it would be great to just have ABC Daytime, and even the primetime shows today, just get out different PSAs and stuff like that, especially with what's going on right now in today's society with gun violence or political fights or things like that.
You're right. I agree.
But
I agree.
I haven't forgotten about you, Tony. it would be nice if Frank can bring back your character, Brad, because it would be great to bring him back from the dead, or at least in spiritual form, because I know that the only way you can probably bring BJ back if you get Kirsten Storm to play her like she did a couple of years ago, and that would be the only way you can just have BJ in spirit form if you can get Kirsten Storm to play her, because she did a good job of doing that about 5-6 years ago.
Well, I mean, it's been awfully quiet being dead, so I'd be happy to to be alive again.
But I'll let you get to some more. But I'll let you get back to more of your calls, and I want to say one more thing, Jacqueline. You've done a great job in the 40 plus years you've been on the show. You and Ken have done a great job. Tony did a great job. It would be great to get. Tony Geerin and did a great job, and Laura definitely did a great job. Tell Laura next time you see her that I hope that her leg is better, and happy belated birthday when you see her on Monday back on the set.
Oh, okay. I will tell her. That's sweet. Thank you.
Okay. All right. You both have a good night, and I'll let Carly get to some more of your calls.
Okay, Bobby.
Thank you, Bobby. Take care.
All right. Take
care. David, you're on the line.
Hi, Carly. Hi, Jackie. Hi, I'm Brad. How y'all doing?
Ooh, good.
Okay.
Hi.
Well, I want to say, Jackie, I just joined your fan club, and I'm happy to be part of your fan club.
Well, thank you very much. Well, I'm happy you're part of our group, friends and family. That's wonderful.
Yeah, you destroyed it like a couple months ago, so I'm happy. Yeah. I've been a 36 year real year after. I think you're the best soap right now. So, yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Also, Brad. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Brad, I saw you on Great Company. How was it working on that show?
Do you know, it was great fun. John Ritter was a wonderful, wonderful guy. And the first time I walked on the set, he threw a football from across the soundstage to me, and I ducked and let it pass because I was like, what the heck? And that's the way he was. He was fun. He liked to laugh. And they made, you know, when your first day on a set, a brand new set, you're the new kid. But they just pulled me right in and made me have the best time. So I still think fondly of him because that was one of my first jobs in Hollywood. So.
Yeah, just about you. That's great. Also, I saw you on Charlie's Angels, too. Charlie's Angels.
Charlie's Angels was my very first television guest starring role, and that was with Cesar Romero.
Wow.
So that was a big deal for me.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that, Brad. That was
yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
very
check
cool.
It out.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. And then I was a Russian basketball player on The White Shadow.
Yes, I was on that too.
Yeah, still plays on me. I'm a MeTV kind of guy.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you up your own passions too. What was like working on that passions?
Oh well, yeah, I've been on a few things. Yeah, I like passions. I was on Young and the Restless. I don't know what all I was on, but it was fun. You know, I've had a real good time. I'm trying to think. Oh, did you ever see me on Oprah?
No.
Well, there you go. You need to Google or YouTube Brad on Brad on Oprah, and I sing on that show. So,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
You need to YouTube that. All my students
I teach. That's on YouTube.
I will.
When I come in the room, they're like, oh, my grandmother loves you. So, you know.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, that's so cute. Love that. Love that.
Yeah. They don't know who I am, but their grandmother does.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
Well,
I love it.
I like your voice.
Thank you. Well, we do miss you on Johnstone. For some of you, we get you back. You are missed.
Well.
You are missed. You are missed.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Bobby, I want you and Scotty together.
Well, I would like to see that happen because he's so much fun to work with, and we're really good friends in real life. We've been wishing, but you know, it's like for some reason they don't want to write us together. They tease it all the time, but they never actually write it. But we have got a chance to do, you know, a few good scenes, you know, with the proposal stuff, and that was really, really fun. So I'm glad for that.
Yeah.
Which is
I also love your Mitchell Ball performance. Y'all do good on this ball. So, so big fan
there
of
you
y'all.
Go.
Big fan of y'all. Thank you. And please come back, kids. Yeah, let it come back.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you have any more questions?
No, that's it.
Okay. I will put you
Thank you, Bobby. Thank you for calling.
That was David.
You take good care.
Thank you, David.
Oh, David. So
that's
sorry.
Okay. I
David.
Get the Roy mixed up all the time.
I know. I'm sorry. David.
Maggie is on the line. Yay.
Hey, Maggie. Hey, everybody. This is delightful. I am totally enjoying this evening.
Well, thank you.
Good.
You're welcome. The greatest writers, lucky at GH to have over all these years, which I've been here since day one. But you guys make it real, bring it home. It's like, it's real life. It's what you bring to the show. And amazing talent. God bless.
Oh, that's very sweet of you to say. Thank you so much. And yes, we do have amazing writers. We are very, very fortunate. You know,
they write it.
Incredible. They sit down. They have to, like, every day, you know, come up with, like, 100 pages of dialogue. You know, that's, like, a lot of stuff to write. I can't even imagine, like, to General Hospital as a writer and mm-hmm. not only having to think of the future and what you're writing for the present and where the story's going in the future, but knowing the history and the intimacy and
mm-hmm.
the connections between all of the characters, like all of that goes into it. So, yes, mm-hmm. you know, big, big heartfelt thanks to all of our writers because it's an amazingly mm-hmm. difficult job and they make it look easy because they just keep churning it out, coming out with great material all the time, over and over again.
And then you guys just pick it up and you go with the emotion and you just bring it across. And I'm very honored that my GH has the best acting crew.
Aww.
You know, I'm prejudiced.
That's sweet. That's
I'm really prejudiced about GH. But
well,
it's amazing. Oh, you do. And they all mesh together. It's like a family. It's like interwoven and you know, each one of you brings something a little different to the table, and that's what comes across. So that's why I'm interpreting it.
Yeah, Jennifer does have a good mix, always has, of, you know, all kinds of edgy characters, you know, anti-heroes, villains,
mm-hmm.
good girls. You know what I mean? We really have run the gamut. And some are very opposite of what you would expect. you know, which always I think is very interesting. When an actor, you know, with a certain physical appearance is hired, not thinking, you know, not like what you would envision for the role. And that's, you know, that's great. That's great casting. Obviously, Mark Teshner is a really good casting director. He's been there for years. He really knows what he's doing. Gets, like, the best of the best. And, you know, let's face it. Everybody wants to get on General Hospital. I mean, nowadays, there's, you know, it's been a network show that's been on and continues to be on every single day. Actors, like, go do anything to get to be on, you know, and work like that, because a lot of shows come and go. There's a lot of cable shows, or there's a lot of, you know, internet shows, or there's a lot of shows all over the place, but a lot of them don't stick, you know. Like, it's not to say they're not good. If you can't get an audience fast enough right away, the shows disappear before you can even get, you know, involved with them. So, you know, they do have their choice, I think, nowadays, of a lot of really, really good people to put on. And you see this, the way the cast has gotten on GH, it's huge. I mean, it's like crazy. There's just so many people on, you know. It's complicated, them doling out the airtime of who's getting story and who's getting seats, because there's hundreds of people because of the history of the show. So thank you for, you know, the positive comments that you've made about the writing and the actors. It's really nice to hear that. And it's nice to know that, you know, you're liking what you're seeing. It's all good. Yeah. That means we get to
your art. Art. It really is what you guys do. And I loved it when you were with Brad. And I really kind of not want you to go with Scotty.
Well, I'll kick his butt if he goes with her. So
there you
okay.
go.
Okay, we gotta get you back and then knock Scotty out.
Yeah, he better not try to get with my wife.
Exactly.
Yeah,
thank you, Brad.
There you go.
You tell Ken I'm looking for him.
Oh my God, I love him. I'll tell him when I see him. Okay.
Yeah.
You'll tell
I'll
him.
Push
okay.
that scooter over.
Good, because my Luke is the jury. I don't think they were really good friends. So if you're not a friend with him, then you're not a friend with me. Any worries? Any hints that maybe he'll come back for a couple of days?
Are you talking to me?
Anybody here? From? Yeah, Brad. Do you think?
Oh.
I thought you should talk to him, Brad, Anthony Geary.
Oh, Tony Geary you're thinking about, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I don't Jackie would know that. I don't know that.
I would say it's unlikely. But, you know, you never know. You never know. Things happen. You never know. If Tony gets bored in Amsterdam, it's like, oh, it gets itchy to get back on TV and do some scenes, I'm sure they'd be happy to have him. You know what I mean? But now, I think he is really happy with his life, what he's doing there. So I don't think, you know, I don't think there's anything in the works. But, of course, I don't know everything. Who knows, you know?
I think he's wholesome.
Yeah.
Just like we're going to have Tony come back as a spirit. Like, remember when Alan did that? When he came back for a few episodes as a spirit of Alan.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
So we get, okay, writers,
Stuart,
please bring Brad back as a spirit.
Oh, wouldn't that be good?
Oh, I don't think
so. I've asked Frank Valentini that a couple of times, because Frank has actually said, Frank Valentini is our executive producer, gee, Brad is such a good actor. I really would like to get back on. Why did they have to kill him? And I said, bring on the ghost. You brought famous ghost on, bring the spirit on. You know, and then they did. I don't know whether he got that idea from me, because then they had Maura West, the spirit, the psychic came on. And I'm like, wait a minute, that was my idea for Brad.
Aw, it was your idea.
But I guess, you know,
I can't see that happening.
The spirit world, but, you know, I did put my 2 cents in. So,
you know.
Well,
so,
you know, the good thing is I've found out where you go when you die on a soap opera. It's to Texas.
Heaven?
So.
Texas?
If you've ever wondered where you go when you die, it's Texas.
Love that. Ooh,
I love that. That's where. Okay. Never been. I got to check it out. And I hear from Jackie, that you're teaching. Acting?
Yes, I teach. I teach beginning filmmaking and acting for the camera.
Wow. See that?
At a university.
You're building the future. At a university. Mm.
You know, I'm sending out a bunch of little stars. You know, these people are, I told them, I said, all I want you to do is thank me at the Academy Awards.
There you go.
I haven't got one
yet,
but I will.
You will.
It'll happen.
If they get to be a little chip off the black, they will definitely be thanking you.
Well,
I love you. I love Brad, and I'm so glad that you're doing this for the future of our young ingenues coming up, and it's really great.
It's a hopeful thing to teach people what little bit you know to pass it on. It's a good thing.
Yeah, you know a lot more than just a little bit, and I'm sure you're giving them a really they're very lucky. Yeah, to be with you.
Yes, a really big lesson. Yes, definitely with you. Definitely, you will be getting thank yous. I'll be listening, but we're going to hear thank yous to you. That's Brad. Wonderful. That is wonderful that you're doing that. And I'm a great new whistler and new grandma, 2.5 years now. And Jack is amazing.
Congrats.
Unbelievable.
That's awesome. I'm happy for you.
Oh, thank you. You're going to have a ball. You really are. It's,
I know.
It's the greatest feeling.
Very exciting.
You don't think spoil that baby, do you?
Oh, no. No. Nana's never do that.
But that's the thing. When your kids grow up, I mean, Brad, you even as a man, I'm sure you've gone through this. You know, you'll see like something in a window, like from when your kids were little, and you'll think, oh, I wish I could buy. You know what I mean? I wish I had something to buy that for. You'll see like a toy or an outfit or a piece of jewelry, just something that sparks your spirit. And you're like, oh, I wish I could. And then you're like, oh, but my kids are grown now. I can't. You know, I wish I had something.
Yeah.
So now it's like all the first times. I'm reliving all the going to relive all the first times as grandma. You know, with this little girl. Whose name I don't know yet. They're not going to tell the name until the baby's born. They've decided they're going to wait and see. But I did find out from my daughter that they have three. There are three possible names. One that Cutter is more partial to. One that she's more partial to, and a neutral. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
You're going to enjoy it.
Thank you.
I'll be thinking of you December 30th. God bless the healthy baby.
To you too. Yeah, very exciting.
Oh, your heart is going to explode. I mean, it's just the love you feel for your grandchild. Well, Thomas, my son. I'm holding the baby, and I go, Thomas, this feels like holding Thomas again. And Thomas goes to me, his name is Thomas. I said, no, it's the same feeling when you hold your baby for the first time. And, Jackie, God bless, you're going to enjoy this.
Thank you, though. It makes me feel good. It's making my heart feel very warm and happy that you're saying this, so thank you very much.
Good. I'm glad you mentioned it. You're having a baby. A grandbaby. That's right. Yeah, and Bobby's going to be a great-grandma. Oh, Kathy.
Yeah.
Impossible.
I know. Wiley.
There you go. I know. Pretty exciting.
It's exciting. But this one you really get to enjoy, and you are.
So you guys, Maggie's favorite soap is in the hospital, and she wants it the first. The first thing she does is wash it, and if people call her during general hospital, well, except for me, because I'm like her daughter, so, you know, I'm like the exception to every rule. She gets mad at people, but General Hospital is her favorite. And Jackie, if you would please for her, give Mo a hug from her, because she loves Sunny. Like, if Sunny's not on that day, she deletes the episode. And it's very cute. Very, very cute. So I just thought if you could do that for her, that would be great. Because, you know, you know, she loves Sunny, and, you know, I just thought that would be really nice.
Oh, thank
big
you. Hug,
you big hugs? Yeah, okay.
A hug.
I mean, you know, I mean, we
and
both
your favorite
also fans of, you know, all of you guys, and we still let you go in a minute, but Maggie, are you done with your questions?
Yes, I am.
Okay, but I have to know this, Zaki, I have to know this because it's killing me, and it's killing me inside. Okay, where's your brother, and why hasn't he phoned in when Lulu was in the hospital, when you just found out you
Mark
had diabetes? Well, when, you know, when Morgan died, I think the writers should have a phone call between Bobby and Luke to say, I'm alive, or whatever, because you and Anthony Gary were so great in every scene you guys ever had. And you, Brad, you and Tony were just the best, how you guys were. And I loved how he called you ex-brother-in-law when you guys had the divorce.
Yeah.
That was funny.
That.
So I just wanted to say that to you, Zaki. It's been bugging me because, you know, you don't have a brother on there right now, and you don't have backup. Bobby needs backup sometimes. Bobby really needs backup. And so I just thought, you know, the American people wanted to know, you know, are we ever going to get a phone call from Bobby, I mean, from Luke to Bobby, to say, hi, sis, I'm alive.
I have no clue, Carly. I have absolutely
no clue. I know.
I mean,
my other
show, so, you know, can't run for him right now. He's not on. Ever? I don't know, ever.
Well, and
you know,
my other question is, how far along right now are you taping? Are you guys 3 weeks behind, like 3 weeks ahead, 4 weeks ahead?
Well, we go dark now, like 24 weeks a year. I think it is 24 weeks a year. So at times we're farther ahead than other times. Like just came off a 2-week break, a 3-week break. We were dark for 3 weeks in July, and then we were dark for 2 weeks in August and September. You know, so it fluctuates. We stock up a bunch of shows. Some days we shoot 3 shows in a day. And then some days we shoot only 1 show in a day, depending on if we're about to go on a 2-week or 3-week hiatus. Now we'll be dark in December. I think we're going dark for a couple of weeks, I don't know, in November or something. And then we go for 3 or 4 weeks in December and January. So we'll have to stock up shows. So now they'll start shooting like 2-3 shows
a
day.
Well, all
I got
to say is you guys did a great job together as Bobby and Tony before we let you go. And Zaki, both of you, we would love to have you back. And Zaki, of course, whenever you are doing Misguided or The Bay, but I really want you back on after Carly has the baby because right now it's killing me. And I know you can't say anything, even if I try and pry information, because I'm good at finding for people some information on timing. But
well, okay.
I know
you're right. I can't say anything, but I can tell you we're going to start shooting The Bay.
I know. So I won't ask. So
and
my question is,
shooting.
So after maybe November,
I'm going to tell you something about The Bay. Since you brought it up, we're going to start shooting a new season like next week, and we have we have our table read on Wednesday, where we'll all get together and read through the scripts that we currently have. And, you know, as you know, Bay is nothing in the studio. It's all on location, and it's all starting up soon. So I'm really excited about that. And then I just heard from Paul Gosselin from Misguided that he told me, of course I can't tell you, but an idea for the storyline for our new season. He's writing that as we speak. So good things are happening. Yeah, it's a very good time of year, you know, for our whole industry. Everything goes really busy now, and it slows down in December.
We will love you back in, like, end of November sweeps, so everything will blow over, because we got to talk to you about the end of November sweeps. I think everything's going to be falling apart by then, I think. This is just my feeling. And, Brad, anytime you want to come back and, you know, talk or whatever, if American gives you a gig, let us know, because we would love to have you back on. And there are rumors that Seventh Heaven might do a reboot, by the way.
Ooh.
And I think you would be great going back on Seventh Heaven. You had the best story arc on Seventh Heaven that I've ever seen. You were great with Ashley Simpson, and I just think if Seventh Heaven does a reboot, they have to bring you back into it.
Well, I am dead, so Seventh Heaven, you know.
There you go.
You're alive, right?
I mean, but I will get you back on Z8. I don't know how, I don't know when, but Jackie and I will find a way. It's up to Jackie and I to find a way, because it will be hilarious. Because you can come back as a ghost for Lucas, you know, doing his time in Christ.
I don't think so.
I think you should, because people want to see you. But thank you both for calling in. And we would love to have you guys back on again.
Thank you, Carly.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie.
Okay.
It's always a pleasure. I love you bunches.
Love you guys.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Okay, that was Grandma and Jackie Zeman.
I really enjoyed the interview, and you did great, Carly. I sent you several Facebook messages during the interview saying you was great.
Oh, I got that. I don't know where Maggie went. Maggie dropped off. Maybe her phone was dying.
Right into the night, but Jack McCarty.
Did Maggie say goodbye?
Nope.
Okay, well, maybe her phone died. So I'm glad you guys liked the interview. I hope I did America proud on the interview.
You did.
And
I was right with the world.
How is everyone's night going?
We're fine.
So far.
I'm sorry for the baseball game. I'm sorry about the baseball game going, not going on. Bobby, I'm really sorry about that. You know, it's very heartbreaking. I feel so bad for you that you didn't get your football game tonight.
Well, it cleared up, but they still have it. But it was kind of just started raining like at 7 o'clock my time, and I just thought I'm not going to take no chances. But and I didn't know how long the rain was. Plus, there was a baseball game going on at the same time, for And so I decided to just do my interview from Starbucks.
Oh, okay. And what is everyone doing this weekend?
Well, on Sunday, I'm going to a big event where all the restaurants in town is going to be in town, so I'm going to sample food on Sunday. I do want to just say right quick as a program note, and I hope Maggie is still listening if she calls in. I won't get the Seahawks game with the Steelers because we're getting Cowboys Redskins in my area, and then in game two we're getting the Saints and the Rams, so we won't be getting the Bears and the Broncos game.
Oh, son of a biscuit. What? Oh, my God, the Steelers game is at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning?
Yeah, in Pittsburgh. I know. It's hard.
Okay, now do you guys understand why
I learned from the West Coast teams, they usually, when they play out in the East, usually have to adjust very well, and they usually don't win most of the time. But Seattle was lucky to just get past Cincinnati last week. Pittsburgh didn't even show up against New England.
I mean, call me luck to be in on a Sunday morning. Call me Bob the Sleepy Inn. And now call me Ken on a Sunday morning, unless call me takes the game.
Tape it.
David, what are you doing this weekend, buddy?
Well, I got to do Dallas for 12 tomorrow, and you're going to church on Sunday. I do Dallas for 12 tomorrow, and church Sunday.
Why can you do dialysis on a Saturday? It's
for
2 hours.
Right
at all.
Yeah. I'll put you after. I know, Trace. For 2 hours. In
and
out.
And are you going to go see the new J-Lo movie?
That's our today. I'll probably see it.
I want to go see
I'll probably
the
see
new
next,
J-Lo.
Next month.
That's
real good. I'll probably see in November. On my birthday. Good to see you.
Bobby, what are you doing for the weekend, the whole weekend?
Well, Sunday, I'm not doing anything other than work tomorrow on Saturday. Yes, I got work on Saturday, so. But on Sunday, I am going to a little bit of a food event where I got to taste where I'm going to taste food and stuff in here in town. So it should be nice.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, we got all kinds of restaurants here in town, so I'm probably mainly just going to get pizza or Italian food, but I might have some for lunch and then just come back for a sample and get some for dinner. But that's what
okay.
I got planned for Sunday.
We have a minute to go, guys, and we haven't been on in an hour and a half in so long, and David, who do we have on next week?
Next week? Okay. I think, okay. That's my calendar. Together.
because my memory is, you know.
Okay. Maybe. Okay. Next week we got Karen Laura on 17th, Monday.
Okay.
17th, we got Karen Laura from Life of This.
Okay.
Who again? Who again?
Karen Laura. Karen Laura. She paints Gina Roberts on Life of This on 17th.
What time
Monday.
Is that?
8 p.m. Monday night. 5
okay.
p.m. Wednesday. 5
I
p.m. Wednesday.
I make it for Monday night.
And
I definitely make it for Monday night.
Interview, right?
Yeah.
And, okay.
Then we got Jay Harlow on 20th. Jay Harlow on 20th. Friday, next Friday.
So
oh, Karen's
at 25
minutes. Karen's at 25 minutes. Interview.
Okay.
Karen.
Hold on. You know, it's Friday. Oh, okay. Next Friday is Jay Harlow, you guys.
Monday, Candor. Please let me know.
Well, I'm not sure about Friday yet. It depends on the weather, so I'll text you probably Friday afternoon if it's and let you know how the weather is going to be and stuff like that. But I'm not sure if I'm going to make it Friday night. I might be going to another football game. So.
Okay. Well, let's end it here, and we will be back on
Monday. Monday.
What?
Monday.
I thought it was Tuesday.
No, 17th.
Wait a minute. The 17th is Tuesday.
I thought it was the 17th.
Oh, yeah, Tuesday. Yeah, sorry.
Wait a minute, David. Is it the 16th or the 17th?
17th.
17th. That's Tuesday.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Well, we will be back then, you guys, and have a good night.
All right. You have a good night.
Okay.
Good night,
you too.
Everybody.
Bye. Bobby.
Bye.